Our scripture reading is taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our speaker this morning, Joel Repick, is co-pastor of Crestmont Alliance Church and also the founder and the director of Aliquippa Impact, which is a Christian-based organization serving the youth and families of Aliquippa. Please welcome Joel.
Couldn't ask for a better start to my talk. Thank you. Geneva, it's so good to be with you today, and I come to you as someone who really, not at this college, but another, was sitting in the seats that you're sitting in now. As someone who was a student, my story was that I had been raised in a Christian home from a Christian background. Had been taught the Word of God from a young age. But when I found myself in the Christian college environment, which, looking back, I have no regrets over. It was an incredible experience. But I found myself growing in cynicism. And some of you may be at that place. As a matter of fact, if we look at statistics of the number of people who grow up in the Christian church and then afterwards, after college or after high school, or making their exit, you would see that there are a large number of us, a large number of our generation is leaving. And so I started to wrestle with those questions in college, starting to face the cynicism in myself, truthfully, you know, the lack of submission in myself, the disobedience that was in my own heart. But when I was a second-year Greek student in my undergrad degree, we started translating 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. And at the beginning of this book, when I translated these verses, which I had read before, and saw what the Word of God had to say, it changed my paradigm. So this morning, I'm going to talk briefly about some of those passage of Scripture that we just read. And then I want to share with you a story today, and not even a story about Aliquippa Impact as an organization, but a story about the kids that we serve. Because one thing we've learned in Aliquippa is that faith produces, that labor can produce love, faith can produce work, hope can produce endurance in the most unlikely of places. Right now, as was already said, I'm one of the co-pastors at Crestmont Alliance Church, and I also had the opportunity, while I was still a college student 6 years ago, to start Aliquippa Impact. And currently, we do a whole bunch of things. We have a one-to-one mentoring program in Aliquippa. We also run a summer youth program that serves about 100 students. Some of my staff members are here this morning, which is great. We hire 20 college students from all around the country who move into our community and join us in our programs, but also in our active street presence. It's a big part of what we do. We're out on the streets doing intervention in the lives of youth, outreach in the lives of youth. This may come as a great surprise to you as you see me standing here, but I'm not exactly intimidating out on the streets. Nothing about me would give you that impression. And truthfully, when it comes to Aliquippa, I'm an example of how God can use foolish things to accomplish his will. Who would ever have thought, you know, that I would end up doing ministry where I'm doing ministry now? The passage that we just read, Paul and Silas and Timothy write this letter to the Thessalonians. And they commend this church in that first chapter on many things that are bringing joy to their hearts. They're causing them to give thanks to God constantly. And, you know, brothers and sisters, we live in a day and time in which ministries and people and religious experience and churches are judged by all kinds of superficiality, by all kinds of things that were not close to the hearts of the apostles, that are not close to the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we see in these letters written by the apostles what matters to God as the Holy Spirit pens these words. First of all, he addresses them as those who are the Thessalonians, who are in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So, first of all, he makes reference to their geographic location, that they find themselves living in and around the ancient city of Thessalonica. They are Thessalonians. But they have more than just a geographic location, because they also have a spiritual location as well. They are in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. God has transferred them out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son whom he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. But we ought not think that just because you and I have been transferred into this great kingdom, that it means that we are no longer those who live in Beaver Falls, or no longer those who live in Aliquippa. Because we are still, and this church is still, Thessalonians. They still live in a city that is part of this world, even as they live their lives in the kingdom of God. As a matter of fact, who they are in Christ ought to affect who they are in Thessalonica. And we've come to believe with all of our hearts that in Aliquippa, who we are in Christ ought to make a difference as to who we are in our city. It ought to cause us to live a certain way. A city like Aliquippa, a city like Beaver Falls, whatever city you come from, ought to be better off just because the people of God live there. Just because there are people in that city who have been called by his name. It ought to make a difference somehow. There ought to be tangible differences in that city. Here is what Paul is so excited about in this city and about this church. That in this place, faith has produced work. That love has produced labor in this church. That hope has produced endurance. And it's important that the starting point be faith, love, and hope, because those things come from God himself. And if we don't make it our starting point, then soon, and I struggle with this temptation working where I work in Aliquippa, then soon ministry, soon labor becomes God instead of God himself. But we start with the faith and the love and the hope that God himself gives us, that was undeserved. Hope as real as Jesus is alive. Love as real as the forgiveness that was won for us at the cross. Faith that was given to us by the Holy Spirit. But for Paul, the validation of these things, how he is able to tell if these things are legit or not, is if they produce or not. So it's not just that the Spirit of God has given faith to this group of believers in Thessalonica. It's that this faith has produced work. It's produced getting hands dirty for the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's produced going to places that our world has forgotten. It's produced going right into the places that are marginalized, the places where you would least expect Jesus to be. It means that love in this church, the love that was poured into their hearts by the Holy Spirit, has produced labor, toil. It's produced sacrifice. They're loving not just with words and with tongue, but with action and in truth. Love has taken on a tangible form in this church. And then the hope that they have in the resurrected Christ, the hope that they have in our Lord's return, gives them the endurance that they need to keep on going, even when labor and work get difficult. Now, I could stand here today and tell you some about how this has played out in our staff members, how it's played out in our board, and certainly we've seen this at Aliquippa Impact. Instead, I want to tell you a story about how I saw firsthand faith, love, and hope produce in the lives of some of the most unlikely individuals. A group of youth from Aliquippa who I had the opportunity to take on a mission trip. And truthfully, these are youth who are oftentimes marginalized, labeled, considered no good, like they have no future or hope. But we have seen exactly the opposite over and over again in the lives of our youth. When I was in 10th grade, I had the opportunity to go on a missions trip to a town called Belglade, Florida. And Belglade has become like holy ground to me because it was a town, a migrant town, still there, one of the poorest communities in the United States, there in South Central Florida. And in 10th grade, in August, I had the opportunity to hold a VBS program on blacktop in the middle of the day in South Central Florida. I remember it felt like torture. But we were there, and we got to know the kids, and we got to love them. And there, for the first time, a vision started to come into my mind of what God could do in Aliquippa. And if we've learned anything in Aliquippa, for all of you who are sitting here this morning, it's this, that the world is not changed by extraordinary people. It is changed by people who just decide to do something. And there's nothing extraordinary about those of us who are serving and working for the renewal of our city. But when we made ourselves available to the work of God, we've seen him do far above and beyond anything that we ever could have imagined. Well, from that time in 10th grade, I've had the opportunity to take two different groups of students from Aliquippa to Belglade for mission trips. It's kind of been a neat full circle for me because it was there that I first got the idea to work with Aliquippa youth. Now I've had the opportunity to take two groups of junior high and high school students to Belglade to serve. And we challenge them. You know, we tell them that this is going to be labor. It's going to be toil when we go into this city because there's great need and we're going to pour our hearts into it for a week. Now, over the last few years in Aliquippa, as we have spent time on the streets and in our programs, we have seen a number of youth come to faith in Jesus Christ and experience the life transformation that he has to offer. I want you to keep that in mind if you ever drive through our town, that some of the youth who are on our streets, some of the youth who you see on our corners who are so easy to judge, some of those youth very well may be the youth whose hearts were invaded by the Holy Spirit of God. And although they find themselves still in difficult situations, the kingdom is coming to our city. We believe that. And we're seeing him one life at a time renew and change our city. Well, I had the opportunity to take some of these students who had experienced this life transformation to Belglade. Now, I always tell our church that we are not making good church members. We're making disciples in Aliquippa. So it was that way with this group of youth, still rough around the edges. You might still hear them talk in certain ways, or they may still be involved in certain things. Still, it's a very messy ministry that we're involved in, but nonetheless, the transformation was real. Well, when we arrived in Belglade, one reason we take this trip is so that we can encourage them to grow in the ministry of prayer. And when we arrive in the city, typically the youth who are with me are youth who have no church background, right? They may have only been walking with the Lord for a few months, literally, and they're definitely not comfortable praying out loud in front of each other. But throughout the week, we work with them. It's not long before we're out on the streets praying for the needs of individuals. And then at the end of the week, we culminate with a task that I give them, which I'll explain in a moment. It was Friday of that missions trip. I was with a group of students. If you would see them, you would see that they are drawn by the streets oftentimes. Some of them have spent time being homeless. If you would know their families, you would find crack addiction or alcohol addiction within their immediate families. Very broken group of students. And early on Friday morning, we went out on the streets. By this point, they had grown bold in prayer. And so they approached a man on the street who appeared to be homeless, and his name, he identified himself by his street name, which he called himself Skinny. He had a big beard, I remember, old man with a cane. They spent some time talking with him. They ended up praying for this individual. I drove the church van back around. They got into the van, told me that they had a nice interaction with this man, but not much beyond that. We headed back to the church that we were staying at, and then I gave them their final challenge, which was this. I split them into groups. I gave them each $20, and I said, your ministry this afternoon is really up to you and God. I want you to take this $20, and I want you to pray in this church until you have some sense of what God wants you to do with this $20. And I realize we're not talking about a large amount of money, right? And we're talking about students who are not church, who don't, you know a lot about what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I said, I want you to stay here, and once you leave, the door is going to lock behind you, and you need to spend the whole afternoon in ministry with that $20. And I gave strict instructions to the youth leaders that we were not to interfere with this time, that we would facilitate it, that we would take them to where they needed to go, but we would just let God lead this time. Well, my group gathered together, and we began to pray, and we ended up praying for about 40 minutes, this group of students, and I won't get into the details of all that entailed right now, but basically by the end of it, I'm just telling you what happened. This is what they told me, and I was skeptical when I heard what these students had to say. These students said, we feel led to take our $20 and go to the grocery store and to put together a hygiene kit. Apparently, this person, Skinny, who they were feeling led to help, had a bit of an odor. So they decided that they wanted to put together a hygiene kit and take it to this man named Skinny. Now, immediately, all of these questions are running through my mind. Like, how do you know this man wants your hygiene kit, you know? Like, isn't that kind of rude just to go up to this man who you don't know and to hand him a hygiene kit? Aren't you sending a strong hint? I wasn't even sure that we would find this man, Skinny. This individual was homeless. We weren't, familiar with the city of Belglade. And not only that, to make it weirder, and I'm just telling you what happened, these students were sure that God had led them to pray about a particular block of the city in Belglade, and they thought that maybe we would find this individual there. This all seemed kind of far-fetched to me. And truthfully, as I saw them play this out, I just thought, you know, this is going to really set them up for disappointment. So I decided I would start to cushion the fall, you know? I told them, you know, maybe you can just buy, just a few hygiene items and we can hand them out. Like, that would be any better. I said, maybe, you know, God doesn't want you to find Skinny in particular, you know, maybe just somebody on the streets. But my youth kept telling me, no, Skinny. I mean, you told us to pray and to do, and I was breaking my own rules. I was interfering with what they were trying to accomplish. But they were sure that this is what God wanted them to do. So we piled into the church van, I drove them to the grocery store. They all got out with one of the other youth leaders, and they began to shop for what they needed. And I remember sitting in the van just thinking, God, please do something here, because I don't even know how I'm going to find this individual. And I've been teaching them about prayer. I've been teaching them about your work in the world, you know, and I want this to count for them. Well, they got back into the van, and once again, I said, you know, maybe you're not supposed to find Skinny. Maybe it's just someone else. And I remember one of the youth telling me, one of the youth from a housing project in Aliquippa who's had no experience in church telling me, their youth pastor, he says to me, no, we prayed, and God told us Skinny, and so let's just pray for it now. And he just begins to break out in prayer, asking that God would send us to this individual. Well, we drove around the city of Belgrade, Florida for about an hour, and we could not find this individual. I mean, we didn't even know where to look. And not to make things worse, as we started to give the description of this guy to other people in the city, I mean, no one had even seen this guy. And it's not that big of a town. Nobody knew who we were talking about. And I was getting ready to take the van back to the church and try to kind of, you know, pull together what I could out of this experience for them. But as we started to make our way back to the church, there was a group of Dominicans who were in a courtyard playing, and none of them spoke English. But I stopped and I rolled down the window and I said, "Do you know an individual named Skinny?" And somebody recognized that name. And they started pointing to an apartment building that was just across the way. Belgrade's very flat, so you can see a ways. And would you believe it, that apartment building was on the block that the students told me that they might be able to find him. So we pulled up to this apartment building, and we saw an elderly woman who was sitting in a chair in front of the apartment building, and we walked up, and the kids asked her, they said, "Do you know someone named Skinny?" And she said, "He lives here." And so we went into the apartment building. From this point on, the experience was so surreal to me, even now as I think back on it. I was the last one to go into the apartment. So these kids from Aliquippa are leading the way into the apartment, and then two of the youth leaders, I was all the way in the back. We started to make our way into this apartment. No furniture or anything. Belgrade's a very poor, impoverished city. And I could see that as the youth made their way into the back room where Skinny was, that their faces were just taken by surprise. I could tell whatever was happening, it wasn't what they expected. And as we got back into that room, what we found was a man whose name was Skinny, but it wasn't the Skinny we were looking for. And this man was clearly dying from some disease. I mean, skin and bones. He was in a hospital bed. It was the only piece of furniture that was in the apartment. As we walked in, we saw this man there, and I have no other way to explain it except that my overwhelming sense was that God had been in that room. Jesus had been sitting with that man long before I ever walked in. Our kids had the opportunity to lead that man to salvation in Jesus Christ. And we walked in with a hygiene kit that they were in desperate need of. You see, you and I, as I close this morning, listen, we have no excuse. On that day, I was led by a group of students who have no resources, who are often marginalized and labeled, who are often left out and abandoned, who the world sees as, you know, being able to accomplish no good. I was led by those students, and on that day, faith produced. On that day, love showed itself in labor, and hope was never more real to me than it was on that day. My challenge to you is that if a bunch of students in Aliquippa can do it, then you and I can do it. Find a place to serve. Find a place to connect. Beaver Falls ought to be better, Geneva, because you're here. Beaver Falls ought to be better because all of you, the people of God, are sitting in this place. Find a place where you can connect in ministry. Let's pray together. And so, Jesus, we just ask you for that today. Lord, that for the individuals sitting here who need a place to serve, that your Spirit would lead and guide them exactly to that place, even as you led some Aliquippa students to Skinny on that day. God, I pray that the students here would find themselves in places where they're serving, in places where they're toiling, in places where they're laboring, because of the faith and love and hope that you've poured into their hearts. And we trust you with this, Jesus, and we trust that you want us to serve and that you'll connect us to where we need to be connected. And we pray this all in your matchless name, Jesus. Amen.